Welcome back to The People Show. Josh Elliott Wolf, Dominic Schimatti here on Sportsnet 650. Going to be joined momentarily by Sportsnet's triple threat, Ian McIntyre, 650, 650, Dunbar Lumber text line. So before the break, we were talking about milkshakes because the Chicago White Sox are going to have this like $16 milkshake.
$16 milkshake.
$15 milkshake. They're pushing. It's campfire milkshake.
Yeah.
And my take is that it is not refreshing. Milkshake is not refreshing. On a hot summer's day. We got a lot of texts on this, 650, 650. Milkshake is a sweet treat, not a refreshment. I completely agree with that. And another one. This one, Cameron in Vancouver. I love ice cream. I love milkshakes. I agree with that. They are not, however, refreshing. Nothing beats a Slurpee on a hot summer's day. I agree with that.
Nothing beats an Aperol Spritz on a hot summer's day.
Realistically, all three are good. Just not a milkshake. It's like...
I disagree.
It's tasty. It's not refreshing.
I love this from Gary. Would Robin ever get paid more than Batman? Of course not. He's his sidekick. If Ronick can't carry his own line, then that's all he is as well. A Robin. Don't care about the market or what he could get in ARB. It just doesn't make sense from a team-building perspective.
I love the attitude you read that one.
I'm guessing that's how he texted it.
Let's go to the phone line now. It's Ian McIntyre, Sportsnet's triple threat, and he's brought to you by Avenue Machinery and Douglas Lake Equipment. Thanks for taking the time, Ian. How are you?
I'm doing well, but listening to your refreshment debate,
yep,
I couldn't help but think of Homer Simpson and beer.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Okay, let's start here, iMac. Settle this for us. It's a hot summer's day. You grabbed a milkshake. Is it a refreshing thing to drink on a hot summer's day? Ice cold.
Now, it's not as easy to answer that as you would like, because a milkshake is sort of an ice cream sweet treat, but it's also cold.
Yes.
So on a hot summer day, it's delightful sometimes to have a milkshake or a sundae or whatever. I think it depends on how thirsty you are. If you're actually thirsty, because just because it's hot doesn't mean you're thirsty. It might just mean you're hot. So if you're hot but not that thirsty, a milkshake is fantastic. If you're thirsty and you actually need, you know, to get volume of liquid into your body quickly, milkshake is definitely not the way to go.
Touche.
I agree. I completely agree. Thank you, Ian. You've settled it.
So
there's levels to it.
Because I've played sports on occasion, and I use that term loosely. Not the occasion, the sports part.
You're saying you're not having a post-game milkshake is what you're saying.
Yeah. When it's really hot, I mean, you just pound some ice water,
yeah,
and then you have your milkshake. Or have a beer. I don't know about following a beer with a milkshake.
Yeah, that sounds rough. That sounds rough.
There's other beverages that are better if you're thirsty on a hot day.
It curdles.
Izzy McIntyre.
Slurpee is very good, mm-hmm, but it's also syrupy.
Yes.
You gotta be careful.
But that's frozen. Like that. I don't know. To me, that's refreshing. At least more than a milkshake.
Not if you're super thirsty, because you get the brain freeze after about, you know, three gulps.
True.
iMac first text in. He's an intelligent man. There you go.
Yeah, true, true.
wasn't me. That wasn't me who texted either.
It is the People Show. Josh Elliott Wolf, Dominic Schimatti, filling in for the vacationing Bick Nizar, joined by Sportsnet's triple threat, Ian McIntyre. So speaking of refreshments, Dakota Joshua looking refreshed at Canucks practice today, skating on the line with JT Miller and Brock Besser, and in a full contact jersey as well. If that line was to stick together, and I know Rick Tocchet and Joshua were both non-committal on if he's playing tomorrow, but if that line were to play together, what do you think of that trio?
Well, if Dakota can play like he was playing when he got hurt, I like it a lot. Mind you, I would like a lot any line that Joshua was on the way he was playing. It's rare that when somebody leaves the lineup, they become more important. Well, they become more valuable. There's lots of times guys leave and you realize how important they are. But Dakota Joshua, I think, is actually more valuable to the team at the end of this injury than he was before he got hurt. Because as Tocchet kind of alluded to many times, they don't have anybody else like Dakota Joshua. And then, you know, there's a bigger debate beyond that. It was only, I believe, last week that Rick said, let's face it, some of our guys aren't great wall guys, but can we get them to be 5 or 10% better? And he's also said, I wish we were a better wall team. Well, these, you know, wall play is the wheelhouse of Dakota Joshua. So I think this is a big moment. And of course, today is all about injuries and, you know, how bad is Lindholm? Is he really day to day? Could it be something more than that? Thatcher Demko is a big story because no matter how you look at it, it's not good news when your starting goalie is going on LTIR. And I realize this gets them cap relief, yes. It also means he's unavailable, their starting goalie, to them until April 6th. And maybe I'm jumping ahead on topics, but it's all tied into, you know, guys going and guys coming back. Well, Dakota Joshua coming back is extremely good news for the Canucks. And I don't know how long he's going to be on that line with Miller and Besser. I hope it's for the rest of the season because it'll mean that they're having success. But Dakota showed that earlier in this year, wherever you place him, and this is part of why he's so valuable, wherever you place him, he's going to do things that a lot of other guys can't do as far as, you know, forecheck, protecting the puck, getting it in, getting it out of the zone. He's going to be important for the Canucks here down the stretch.
We will get into the Lindholm and Demko stuff, but before that, so 10 games remaining, obviously, and it does feel like the Canucks are kind of toying with their lines a bit and seeing what works. And like, you've got Garland up on the top line with Pettersson and Hoglander. It seems to be working right now. Is now,
yeah, that's actually the second line, but go ahead.
Yeah. So yeah, but it seems to be working right now. And is now the time, like, where do you stand on, hey, 10 games remaining, do you experiment with lines, or is now the time to be trying to gain chemistry and like really be ready to go game one of the postseason?
Well, I don't think you can be frivolous about anything. Like, you can't get careless here with 10 games to go, because it's so easy to kind of lose your way. And we've seen the Canucks do this a couple of times in the last 2 months, like since the All-Star break. And then you have to get it back on track. Now, the last time they lost their way, it was only for a couple of games, right? And they got it back on track and played their best defensive hockey the season after that. That said, you know, 10 games is an awful long time. When you feel like you're on top of your game, that's a long way to go. That's a lot of ragging the puck to get to the playoffs. I think what's really important is your last 3 to 5 games, you have to be absolutely on it. So let's say 5. So they have between now and 6 games to go, essentially when Demko is supposed to be coming back. I think they can afford to try different things. But again, as they try those things, you can't be sending a message to your players or to anybody that, look, this game's not as important. We're comfortable where we are. So we're gonna play around here and try this. You can't have that kind of message. But the reality is they do have some runway here before the playoffs. And if they want to try different things, now is the time to do it. But you can't be experimenting. Like, by game 76, 77, you have to kind of know who you are, know where you want guys to be, and really be gearing up for that game one of the playoffs.
One guy that is maybe part of these experiments has been Vasily Podkolzin. He's had kind of short stints in the top six at times in the past couple of games. What have you thought of him since his recall from Abbotsford? And it does kind of feel like he's playing what Yannick Hansen called yesterday kind of more of a desperate style of game.
Yeah, well, he seems to be a guy who's trying to make the most of every shift, which is what you want all your players to do. And I've really liked Vasily in the role that they have him on the fourth line, and so 10 minutes, sometimes a little more, occasionally maybe less, but I think he's doing great in that role. You know, he's showing a physical component to his game. That line, although it's been moving around a bit, you know, has had moments where they're creating scoring chances, not finishing a whole lot, but creating chances. And I just like the directness and the speed with which Pod Colson is playing, because his problems, you know, much as, you know, you go down to the American Hockey League and you have to complete Pro Hockey 101 like Hoglander did last year, there's a lot of, you know, X's and O's about where you got to be in this position, that position. And if you talk to Hoglander, for example, he will tell you how important that was in knowing, better understanding the X's and O's. So knowing where to go so that you're not guessing. But I think as much as anything with Pod Colson, it's about confidence, and it's about comfort and self-belief and confidence in yourself, but also confidence in your place in the team. And I think the fact that he's playing this direct, fast game, albeit on the fourth line, is an indication that he's comfortable. That, because before, when we saw a lot of indecision in his game, it's again, it's about as much about the confidence as anything else. So I think he looks like a very different player now than he was previously. And I think it's completely fine. I know people want more. You know, he's a young guy, still his whole career ahead of him. They want more now. I think, you know, just let him be good at what he's doing right now. And then in time, if he keeps playing the way he is, he'll move up the lineup. He'll get his chances higher up. But I like Pod Colson, and I think it's no surprise, or it's not a coincidence, that he's getting a chance now. He was recalled. He's getting a chance now to play, and we see the way he's playing at the same time that Tocchet has talked about, you know, his wall guys and you know, getting to the front of the net and going to hard areas. I think Pod Colson checks a lot of boxes.
It is the People Show. Josh Elliott Wolf, Dominic Schmatti, joined by Sportsnet's Ian McIntyre. So the injury situation, two guys that I kind of wanted to talk about, Elias Lindholm and Thatcher Demko, they kind of feel like opposite situations in a way, where Demko, you can make the argument like, hey, this is good. He's getting some rest, and hopefully he gets back up to game speed before the playoffs. But on the Lindholm front, yeah, like, he's dealing with this injury, and there hasn't been a crazy amount of information about it. But at the same time, it feels like he's still trying to find his place in this lineup and gain chemistry. So where do you kind of stand on, like, how valuable is getting a few games in for Elias Lindholm before the end of the season?
Well, hopefully they get more than a few. Like, mm-hmm. If he's out a month now, well, a month takes you to the playoffs. But even if he's out 2 weeks, you know, he has shown, and he's admitted himself, that he's had difficulty in transition. And I think, you know, his move to third line center was a good decision to put him in a spot where he's, again, where he's comfortable. And instead of, you know, forcing him to play on the wing, or you put him at center with Pettersson on his wing, I don't think that was a good idea, because now he's, as a veteran guy, very aware that he's the new guy joining a team that's been near the top of the NHL. It's almost like there's too much respect. He's too deferential to the top players he's playing with. So I think it's great to get him on the third line and kind of let him have his own line. But it was still, you know, a struggle at times. Part of that struggle was explained when we found out that he's been playing with some kind of injury, but this is a guy who still needs reps. And so I think it's important that he plays as many games as he can get in with this group before the playoffs, because he's a guy who, you know, has a ways to go, like, to show what his best self is. He wasn't, you know, really close to that at times. And so if he does have a significant injury now where he's out and he comes back with two or three games left, well, he's not going to be closer to that best version of himself. In fact, he's going to be farther. So I think the reps are important for him. And I also think, you know, that we shouldn't, you know, this market, so often we overreact to everything, right? Everything's great. Everything's terrible. And somewhere in the middle of that spectrum is most of the reality, including on Demko's injury. So you can say, well, yeah, he's getting rest and hopefully he'll be ready for the playoffs. Well, you don't want to have to be relying on hope that your all-star goalie, your Vezina Trophy caliber goalie, is going to be ready. And that's why I say, you know, there's no way to sort of spin the transaction today as good news for the hockey club that he's now on LTIR. So his absence has gone from, you know, maybe 2 weeks to now it's going to be 4 weeks minimum. Mm-hmm. So that's not good. And he needs reps as well. Now for a goalie, if you think about what a goalie does to get ready in the preseason, I mean, they play three games or something like, so it's not like he needs a long runway, Thatcher Demko, but you know, he is going to be returning from an injury and there's going to be an awful lot of urgency on him and the hockey club when he comes back to get him up to speed as soon as possible. And ordinarily when a guy comes back, you don't want to have to ride him. You don't want to have to play him six games in a row if in fact he plays the final six games or is available for the final six games. But they're going to be in a position with a clock ticking down to the playoffs that they're going to have to get Thatcher back to top form in a hurry with not a lot of time to do it. Certainly there's enough time to do it, but there's not much margin for error now that he's on LTIR.
Hey, Ian, before we let you go, we got one more debate we need you to weigh in on around the office lately and on our text line. So the other day in our vending machine, Reese's Peanut Butter Cups were replaced by Big Turk Turkish Delight, which is it's caused a storm in the office. And I claim that Reese's is the best overall chocolate candy, whatever you want to call it, in the game. Do you agree with that?
Well, no, I don't agree with that.
Oh, okay.
But it's very good. But I thought Big Turk was a hoax. Like,
no, it's real.
Has anybody ever eaten one of those?
Apparently our texters have, because
they love it.
A lot of them yesterday, like really standing for it. So
nobody in the office does, though.
And they're claiming better than peanut butter cups.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
This is all put on by Big Turk, I think.
Big Turk.
Big Turk has got his people out. They've mobilized.
They're in full force. Hey, Ian,
I wouldn't be in favor of that switch.
That's our intermission snack tomorrow.
Yeah,
Ian.
Good to hear. Ian, appreciate you taking the time and have a good one.
All right. See you guys. Thanks for having me on.
Thank you. There is Ian McIntyre, and he was brought to you by Avenue Machinery and Douglas Lake Equipment. Be a champion on the worksite. Find them together online at DLEAMC.com.
If you had Big Turk Turkish Delight in front of you, would you try it?
Like, I would probably try it. I can't say I've ever had one. And hey, look, maybe I try it and then I completely flip my opinion. The idea of a chocolate candy being called Big Turk just doesn't
just
do it
for me.
It's mainly just the name.
We really boil it down. It's just a jelly bean covered in chocolate.
I'm reading a book by its cover, to be completely honest.
Turk by its cover.
Yeah.
Would you drink a Big Bite hot dog sparkling water if it was placed in front of you?
I don't. What did you say?
A Big Bite hot dog sparkling water. Would you drink it if it was placed in front of you?
What is that?
It's 7-Eleven's new hot dog flavored drink.
Sparkling water? Hot
yes.
dog flavored
Big
sparkling
Bite.
Water.
You know that? You know when you walk into a 7-Eleven and that you've got those like four
conveyor?
Wieners that are just like spinning on the conveyor for
who knows
how long?
They decided to juice those out and put it into
sparkling water. Would you try it?
No.
Like if I had a can for you.
Is it like a gimmick or is it
Clearly it's a gimmick, but it's a real product.
I mean, look, I'll try anything once. That's my
Joshua.
Motto.
Joshua.
That's my motto. I'll try anything once.
I will not. You and I will not try.
What?
Is the 7-Eleven taquitos.
I've heard they're great. You've never tried them?
I just had a friend go down to Miami for Ultra. Mm-hmm. Food poisoning.
Oh. I don't know. There's so many foods that aren't bad, but you get food poisoning after. And they're ruined. And it sucks. For a while, I couldn't eat sushi.
Really?
And then I got over it, and I'm a better man for it. So you got to try 7-Eleven taquitos. Get over it, and you'll be better.
Okay.
Because they'll improve your life.
I'll try. If you will try Big Bite Hot Dog Sparkling Water.
If you can.
I will try a 7-Eleven taquito.
If you can obtain one for me, I will definitely try one.
Well, we're hosting next week.
Yes. So if you can get one by next week. I don't know if it's a Canada thing, though. That's the issue.
Should we add to our lasagna bet?
A hot dog water?
You have to drink a hot dog water while eating your lasagna. That is your beverage of choice.
That downgrades it to a regular size lasagna.
No.
Yeah, well, then no. I'm not doing it. But I'll try it. I'll try a sip.
We should break exceptionally early today so that Riccio has to work longer.
I will. So we got some texts in on the 650-650 Dunbar Lumber text line. I was getting roasted yesterday for breaking late. We had Yannick Hansen on, by the way. Who doesn't want to hear more Yannick Hansen? But regardless, I got roasted because I broke late. And then Reach made a point of breaking on time every single break. Because in his head, he was like, you know what? Maybe I set a bad precedent because I produce Canuck Central.
Yeah.
I'm learning from him.
You got 15 seconds.
I got 15 seconds to break. I'm going to do it now. Thank you to everyone listening, texting in, 650-650.
I bid Josh Elliott Wolf.
Yeah, Dunbar Lumber text line. Even the people that say Reese is not the GOAT.
3 seconds.
It's okay to be wrong. Thank you to Elon Chark producing. Thanks to Dumpsh Maddie. I've been Josh Elliott Wolf. This has been The People Show on Sportsnet 650.